And it's time for the COVID-19 brief. Let's check in. Jenny Carroll from the city of Homer, are you there?
I'm here, Kathleen. Good morning.
Good morning, Chief Kirko. Do I have you?
You do. I'm right here. Good morning, everybody.
And Dorotha Ferraro, do you read?
I read you loud and clear. Good morning.
How about Nurse Lorne Carroll?
Hey, good morning. You're loud and clear.
Good morning, as are you. So I'm Kathleen Gustafson. This is the COVID-19 brief for every Thursday morning at 9. If you have questions, you can call 235-7721, or you can email your questions to info@kbbi.org. So first, I want to start with Jenny Carroll from the city of Homer. Jenny, what's on your list today? I have some questions about Governor Dunleavy's plan to reopen some businesses and what the city might be responding to that.
Yeah. Well, like everyone else, I've been following Governor Dunleavy's press conferences very closely. And last night they unveiled what's called Mandate 16, which is opening Alaska's economy back up, rolling it out in phases. He's just introduced phase one, which will go into effect on Friday. And that pretty much involves starting to slowly open up businesses under certain guidelines so that we can try to be able to keep COVID cases in check while resuming economic activity in Alaska, which is also very important to families, to our health as well. And basically, you know, Governor Dunleavy says Alaskans have been able to prove that they can keep COVID-19 in check by doing social distancing, washing our hands, wearing face masks, and that the state will be watching the case count very closely while they start opening up businesses.
And what about city offices? Will they open?
Currently, we are still operating under our COOP, our Continuity of Operations Plan. So at this point, we are going to move through that slowly as safety plans come in. Under the governor's mandate, I'd like to give out some information to businesses that may be thinking that they would like to open, and what does it mean to open under the new mandate. There are requirements on opening with social distancing, hygiene, training for staff, posting a plan of how you're going to mitigate COVID-19 spread. So I would like to run through that the first mandate applies to public-facing businesses generally, retail businesses, restaurants, personal care services, and non-public-facing businesses, which would be like if you're an engineering group or you provide technical support or something like that, or you provide services to people in their homes, their some kind of repair service or installation. And the state has on their website COVID-19 at alaska.gov. They have all the mandates there and what is required for businesses to be able to open. And we will be looking at that as a city as well, because we're a business as well. And as we look at those and can ensure that we have those practices in place, Chief Kirko actually will be looking over those plans to see how the city can safely resume operations as usual. This is Governor Dunleavy's unveiling this in a five-phase process and looking at it every 2 weeks. So it's going to be a prolonged and slow opening. I would not expect all the city offices and recreation and whatnot to just open up overnight. We're going to be measured and careful for everyone's health.
Okay, thanks for that. I have a question that got called in, but they didn't want to go to air. Nurse Lorne Carroll from the Public Health Department. The question is, are people who are asymptomatic but still, are they still shedding the virus, and do they test positive in the general test that we're giving, the people who don't show symptoms but are carrying, do they test positive?
The easy answer there and the honest answer is we don't quite know the answer to that. There is a chance that some folks, there is some evidence that shows that some folks can be asymptomatic and could be shedding the virus while they're asymptomatic. And in regards to testing, they may or may not test positive. Testing has a lot of limitations, one of which is that testing only really gives a suggestion of the presence or absence of COVID within that specimen. It doesn't tell you about the future. It's not a useful tool moving forward, like for working with others or holding back on community mitigation measures. So in other words, we've got to keep going with community mitigation measures.
Right, and for that moment.
Yeah, that's right.
Because as soon as you touch your face or walk out or touch a doorknob or whatever, you're back in the pool.
What it's like, you should be talking for me, Kathleen, because that's exactly right. So moving forward, testing doesn't really have any use. It doesn't tell you about the future. It's not a useful tool moving forward, like for working with others or holding back on community mitigation measures. So in other words, we've got to keep going with community mitigation measures.
And what are some of those?
Well, all of these are those things like continuing to socially distance. And as we look at a thoughtful and layered approach to resuming economic activity, talking about the new mandates and reading through them a few times, and then figuring out how you can most safely reapproach businesses as a client or a business owner while maintaining social distancing and other things like routine and washing hands frequently.
So what are the benefits of testing on a wider scale?
Yeah, there's a lot of benefits there. In regards to population lens, it gives us an idea of our population health status. So, if we look at statewide or Kenai Peninsula Borough or even Homer, it gives us a suggestive idea of the load of COVID in our community right now. So, for example, as of noon yesterday, we're at 335 total cases Alaska-wide. So these are the cases that we know of based on testing. And then down here in Homer, we're holding steady at two cases total of COVID, and two of which have recovered. And those geographical names are in relation to the resident's permanent residence, and it doesn't indicate where the person might have been infected or where they were when they got diagnosed.
Right, because one of those people that tested positive here wasn't in Homer while they were infected.
Yeah, that's correct. And the single case that we had in Anchor Point was not in Alaska when they passed away.
Okay, and Nurse Lorne, I'm going to come back to you, but I want to get to Chief Kirko. Chief, how is all this going to affect emergency services?
Well, that remains, I think, to be seen. Right now we are holding our own just fine. We are still in the mindset of, at least I am in the mindset of, I want to protect all my volunteers. So we're probably not going to change our current structure of how we're responding to things. I'm going to try to do more with less as far as trying to get more people on a scene. So we're going to stick with what we're doing right now, and we'll just see what the numbers look like in a few weeks. We've talked about it several times, and our responder safety is going to be our priority still, as is the safety of the community. So that's the big thing for us. And when we start looking at things opening up around our area through either the state's mandates or the city's policy to maybe start changing back to what we once called normal, We're going to just kind of review those on a daily basis and on a weekly basis and make decisions based on what the data provides us. And my hope and goal is that we can do this in a manner that is safe for everybody, not thinking that we're going to just open the doors immediately and then wait to see what happens.
And I'm supposing that some things, like when you talk about a return to normal, some of your procedures and protocols will probably change forever after this.
Absolutely. This is an unprecedented event. None of us have worked through one of these before, so we're learning a lot as we go. And I will say that, I've heard a lot of comments recently that why did we go to this extreme of what we've done? There's no cases here in Homer really to speak of other than the one local one. But I think the reason we did what we did and took the precautions that we took was to prevent all of that from coming, getting out of control like it had in some other some of the other states' communities, and even some of the parts of Alaska. So I feel like we put up a good defense, but we don't want to just take that defense all the way down and allow for the infection to, start to come into Homer in a greater rate.
Gotcha. I half expect that losing our air service at the airport didn't hurt us.
Certainly not probably on the way of transmission, right? But
right.
There's a lot of other things that is being felt in a bad way, not having that air service here. But people are adjusting, and I think that's what our future looks like, making some adjustments that we didn't really ever think we would.
Okay, the number to call is 235-7721 if you have a question for Chief Kirko, Nurse Carol, Jenny Carol from the city, or Dorotha from South Peninsula Hospital. And also you can email a question if you don't feel like hanging on the phone to info@kbbi.org or call 235-7721. Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, I know you've been waiting on numbers. Did you get them?
I did get them. Thank you. Good morning, Kathleen. So as of last night, so this morning's numbers, we have submitted 205 swabs for testing, 205. Of those, 183 are negative. One was positive, the one from several weeks ago, and 21 are pending. And I'd like to talk a little bit about the pending.
Great.
So we have... as of today, we are changing our strategy for commercial testing. So we send some of our swabs to the state labs, and we send some to commercial labs, Quest, out of state. And that is based on what the state prioritizes that they will use the state labs to test for. So we have established a relationship with ANMC, and we will be sending our swabs to all swabs to Anchorage now. Some will go to the state lab, and some will go to ANMC, Alaska Native Medical Center, for processing. This, we expect, will increase the turnaround time for those ones that are at the commercial lab. So hopefully, by the time we get caught up in the Quest ones, which should be in the next 2 days or so, that by next week, all of our processing should be within 2 days, three at the absolute longest. So that's great news. Also on the reopening, so I'd like to think of this as still prevention strategy, right? I heard the chief said, we went into these extreme measures to prevent the spread. We're still in prevent the spread. It's just that instead of being at a level 10 of prevention, now we're going to shift to maybe a 9 or an 8 level. So this is still in prevention mode. It's not open up. It's not go back. It's still prevention. So the hospital we're kind of slowly resuming services. I call it a crawl. The most important part of all of this is making sure the provider, whether it's the hospital or a local restaurant, making sure the service provider has the systems in place to prevent the spread. So like at the hospital, you'll now see universal masking. So if you come for an interaction with a provider, you will have to have a mask on. you will see all employees with masks on, no matter if they're doing paperwork or if they're cleaning the floor or whatever they're doing. So that's an example of having systems in place, appropriate waiting areas, aggressive cleaning protocols. So again, it doesn't matter if you're the hospital or if you're the, you know, convenience store or whatever, we all have to have the systems in place to ratchet back to a level 7 or 8 as opposed to going back to the way we used to do things. It's kind of like, remember we all went into before HIPAA or post 9/11, and so it's kind of like before COVID, post COVID, you got to go to the doctor and just walk in and be seen. Well, now you get screened. Now you wear a mask. You know, it's just the new systems, the new protocols.
Dorotha, I want to interrupt you for a minute because Eddie is on the line with a question. Go ahead, Eddie.
Okay.
Good morning. Please, of course, help me with the situation timeline because I'm aware that it changes.
Can you speak up a little, Eddie?
Yes. Please help me with the situation timeline because I'm aware that it changes and I may have my information outdated. There was a period in time where, in terms of getting tested, there was a point that if you had a test requirement or interest, you had to go to your provider to then get sent on the line to get tested. And if you did not have a local medical provider, we were told to go to the Soldovia Village Tribe Health Center. Is that correct?
Lauren, can you...
Then I'll follow up with the point I'm getting to.
Okay.
Is that so far correct or not?
That is not correct going forward.
Okay. Then if you could enlighten us on that, that would be great. Because I know of some people who are not in the best of economic straits, don't have a provider. I've been helping them indirectly and somewhat directly with getting groceries and such. And they're a little embarrassed about coming out to see about getting a test and so on. And I know that SVT had been indicated in the past, but now that's changed. If you could give us an update, that would be lovely.
Thanks, Eddie.
Yep.
Okay, Dorotha, can you take that?
I will take it on behalf of the testing site.
Right.
So there's at our testing site at South Peninsula Hospital, we now have lessened the requirements to get tested. So there's 3 ways to do it. You can call your provider and they will send you. You can call the hospital triage nurse at 235-0235 and they will go over your symptoms and they will determine. Or you can just drive up to the hospital. But it doesn't matter which way you do it, through your provider, through the ER triage nurse, or coming on your own, the consistent denominator is that you have symptoms. We are not testing people who do not have symptoms. So it doesn't matter which of the 3 routes you go, you need to have symptoms and you will be screened for the symptoms prior to the testing. If you choose to come on your own, you just drive to the hospital. There's phone numbers posted as you arrive to the parking lot, and you stay in your car and you call that phone number, and the nurse or the swabber will meet you at the tent. But you do have to call. You don't just come in the hospital, obviously, if you're having symptoms. So it doesn't mean that those other messages were wrong. We were trying our hardest to get people connected to healthcare beyond the moment of testing because, just as we all said, the test is a point in time, and it's valuable no matter what you're dealing with or illness that you're connected to a healthcare provider. So really, those messages were not wrong. We were trying to connect people, but we don't want that to limit testing.
And Lauren, do you have anything to add to that?
Wow, that's really well said, Dorotha. The only thing that I have to add is, health status or how for an individual is on a spectrum. So even though that COVID is here today, we're going to make it through it, but there will still be SVT Health and Wellness and all other medical homes will still be there to provide services. And the thing, one of the guidelines there is really everyone, it's a good practice to aim to have at least 1 annual physical and then consider a flu shot within the scope of that physical. And the thing that we see about annual physical examinations is it's oftentimes that something comes out of there like a referral or diagnosis, that and that's an opportunity for early intervention in order to improve the health of that individual and family so that they can maximize their potential.
Okay, thanks. And Peggy Erkeniff from Kenai Peninsula Borough School District is on the line. What's the news from the school district, Peggy?
Good morning, and it's a good morning today.
Good.
We have been still just, everybody's hopping and staying focused. We've got parents that are taking the free webinars that are happening on Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays. We'll have a new schedule out Friday afternoon. I'm going to do an email to all families, and I'll be posting that on our social sites as well, of just all the happenings in the this week along with that. A big focus right now is around high schools planning graduations for the class of 2020. And we anticipate, with fingers crossed, we've been waiting all week, that we'll have guidelines for graduations coming from the state. Commissioner Johnson, who's the commissioner of the Department of Education, has been working with Dr. Zink and Commissioner Crum and working to do statewide guidelines for graduation that will stay in alignment with what mandates are out by the state. So lots of ideas happening. I've been meeting with all the principals to hear what all the different schools are planning for graduations. We know everybody wants a traditional graduation. They will look different, and we have to abide by whatever those state mandates are. But I know our schools are getting really creative with that. So we'll be letting everybody know and have more information, I would guess, within the next week and a half. All the principals are sharing what their plans are right now and putting those in place by May 1st.
And so, oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, you go.
Well, I was wondering about how many kids are you feeding every day still?
We are still feeding over 3,000. Well, we're over 1,700 kids, but that's two meals a day for them. So I think the last count I saw was a couple days ago, and it was over 3,400 meals on a daily basis to children. Some sad news about that, the lunch program will end on May 19th when school ends for this. So it won't continue through the summer at this time. We don't have the staff capabilities to do that. So those lunches and breakfast daily deliveries will be ending in mid-May when school ends.
Okay, and do you have anything else on your list from the school district to let people in?
Not major on my list. I have a whole list, but nothing major. The big thing is just to assure families that we are working with graduations and getting as creative as we can, and we really appreciate all the support from the communities.
And thank you. I have some questions that have come from email. One of them is from Will. Will says, oh, wait, no, that's the first word in the sentence. Will Homer be testing sewage plants for COVID-19. Art says he heard that it's possible to gauge community-level contagion by doing that. What do you think, Jenny?
Well, I just learned from our public works director the other day that the city is working with, gosh, I'm trying to remember if it's MIT. Maybe Chief Kirko could confirm that for me. But to we have started testing for that as part of a nationwide study. And since Homer has been relatively COVID case-free anyway, not that COVID doesn't exist here, but that we might provide a great baseline for a study to see how that correlates with caseloads in communities and predictive measures. So, yes, the city is doing that part of a research project. So we are starting to get that going.
Okay, and I have another question that was emailed in, and I'm not sure who this is for, so anybody who's got good information, step right up. It says, for people who live in isolation, what happens to their homes and pets if they get sick and have to be hospitalized? Anybody? I've stumped the band.
For people, can you say that again? For people
sure.
who live in isolation.
What happens to their homes and pets if they have to be hospitalized? I would direct people to the COVID-19 page, to local resources and help. And I would reach out to Salvation Army, I Love Homer Fund, and the ilovehomer.org fund, I would reach out on the Salvation Army's rent utility assistance line, 310-803-0588. What about, okay, what do you have to say, Dorotha?
Well, if a person is hospitalized, we have social work team that will make sure that the, you know, right volunteers or right resources are called in to assist that person.
Oh, right, of course. You have social workers at the hospital. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll chime in, too.
Go ahead.
You know, it took me a minute to process that because our local public health system is a complex web of services and relationships that are aimed at meeting the needs of individuals. So let me attempt to unpack part of it is if and when there is an individual that's been hospitalized, like Dorotha said, there are services that wrap around the individual and family to assure that we're all in line working towards the same outcome, is to get that person back into the community and healthy as soon as possible. When those services aren't able to meet the needs of the individual or family, and we oftentimes talk about that in terms of case management, oftentimes the hospital will reach out to public health nurses and or other partners to brainstorm solutions to meet the unique needs of individuals. So if there was a person that might have COVID or does have COVID and needs to be hospitalized because of the severity, we would be happy to work with to case manage those needs and come up with a creative solution.
Okay, thanks for that. So I want to check in one last time with everybody. Jenny Carroll from the city, is there anything on your list today of information to get out that we haven't touched on?
Yeah, I'd like to swing back around and follow up with Dorotha saying, you know, we're still in preventative strategy, and as local businesses start to read through the mandates, I'd like to give them some resources so that they can have the plans and the products in place that they need to be able to reopen on a limited basis and then, again, going forward. So some of the requirements include employees and patrons wearing face coverings, and the city has a fairly robust program going through volunteer efforts, and I would like to direct people who need to get a hold of face coverings for their employees who are public-facing. We have a program where we have SCIF chicks are the delivery point of all these lovely volunteer-made face masks, and the hospital sanitizes them. And there is a prioritization of how those get distributed. So first we're going to be giving those out to our frontline medical care workers who need those. But there are others in stock. So the demand has been going up slowly. And if you want to get information about getting masks, you can call SCIF chicks. It's best to call in the afternoon, say after lunch. And their number is 226-2170. Or you could call Michelle on her cell phone, and her number is 399-3709. They will work with people to the best of their ability to equitably distribute masks, the handmade face coverings. The other item that businesses are required to have to be able to safely clean their premises are cleaning products and to have hand sanitizer. And I'd like to give out a shout to Frontier CBD, who works out of the old Wildberry Products building on Pioneer Avenue. They've been making and getting hand sanitizer out to the community. And the owner there, one of the owners, is Sean McDonough. And he said that if you're a business and you're in need of cleaning supplies, you can reach out to him directly at 299-1829. And they're currently working to get some of their donated products set up at easy pickup locations. So the community is stepping up to try to help businesses be able to open on a really safe basis. And I'm sorry if I'm going over a little bit, but with all this new information, One of the other things that the state is asking for businesses to do is to post their protective plan on their business so that the public can see what it is. And I'm hoping the state comes out with some more specific guidelines for these businesses to, for their plans. But I would direct people to two places if they have questions. And one is the state website, covid19.alaska.gov. And if you go there, you can hit the Unified Command button up top, and then you'll see a red button that says Go to Protective Plans. And there are some instructions there that were written for essential service businesses. But you can kind of look through that and get an idea of what kinds of things you might want to cover in your plan to be able to open up and go forward if you read that alongside the Mandate 16. The other place is that if you have specific questions about your business specifically or some business in town that you wish could open, and what would it take if I could just go get my hair done at my favorite hairdresser, there's an email that the state has set up, and it's called COVID Questions. That's COVID questions at alaska.gov. So you can email that those questions directly there, because the state is the one who's will have the answers for you, real specific answers. So that's what I'd like to just finish up my piece with today, and thank everybody for continuing their preventative measures, because it's the reason that we're here is that everyone has been really very diligent at trying to keep the spread down and keep our curve flat. So thank you, everybody.
Okay, thanks, Jenny Carroll from the city of Homer. Chief Kirko, is there anything else on your list today?
No, pretty much the same message Jenny had. Just thank you, Homer, for really watching out for each other and taking this situation with all the seriousness that it deserves and doing a great job, and that's why we're all here today being as healthy as possible.
And I so appreciate you calling in. Thanks, Chief Kirko. What about Peggy Erkineff from the school district?
Just a big shout out to all of our teachers and our families that are really having to make big leaps for the remote learning. Thank you for being involved and having a growth mindset through this and doing your part.
If you need help, hang up. And then.
And Nurse Carol?
The following tones are for the hard of hearing.
Yeah, let's see. I just wanted to unpack a little bit, again, of the why we're doing all this. In terms of how well COVID is transmitted, it transmits to other people just as well as the common cold, but it's much more threatening. So COVID has a fatality rate of 3% or below, and that's a really important factor to keep in mind. So in terms of death, it's much more like the 1918 pandemic. But the good news is, unlike 100 years ago, we are able to engage folks and each other in community mitigation measures, and it's working. Not only that, is that there's a lot of good coming out of COVID in terms of connections and aligning goals for improving community health. So I just want to say thanks.
Well, thank you, Nurse Lauren Carroll from the Department of Public Health. And also thanks to Peggy Erkineff from the Kenai Peninsula School District, Chief Mark Kirko, and Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer. This has been the COVID-19 Thursday Brief. I'm Kathleen Gustafson. Thanks for listening, Homer.